You know, sometimes I feel like God wants to give us a little deeper drink. You know what I'm saying? There's so much in my heart my heart explodes sometimes throughout the week. You know, it's no wonder I don't just go crazy. I'm so thankful for Jesus. I'm so thankful for what he's done. I'm thankful that when I'm ready to give up, he doesn't. And he reminds me of something in his word. I'm thankful that his grace empowers me every day to live for him. You know, I had a message all prepared for today, and I know that we went a little bit longer here in our worship time. I'm just going to share a couple thoughts with us today, and the kids, they're going with Brandy. All right. Everybody okay today? All right. God's good, is he not? All right, okay. Amen. All the time, yes. I've been really contemplating the holiness of God. I've been thinking a lot about the fact that he is absolutely pure. That there is nothing in him that is wicked or defiled. There is no sin in him whatsoever. And how could something so holy and righteous want me? How could he want us? Because we do so many things that are contrary to his holiness, don't we? Our thoughts, our behaviors at times seem to not reflect the God that we claim to have in our lives. And I talk to people all the time, and they, you know, that's their complaint about the church, whatever. There's hypocrites everywhere, okay? But what I tell people is that we are an imperfect people. We all are flawed. Every person in this room, doesn't matter who you are, we all have flaws. We have things that we deal with. We have relational issues, right? It never happens, I know, from everybody else, but we do. We have personalities and people that we bump into and we don't always get along with perfectly, or we have to make adjustments in our lives. But see, friends, that's the true gospel, is that we love the unlovely despite their differences with us. You mean I have to love people that don't think like me? Yeah. That's the gospel. But you can't do it in your own strength. The only way that you can do it is by the Spirit of Almighty God working in you and through you. There is a psalm. Psalm 24 is an incredible psalm. It's a psalm of David. And many speculate when this psalm was written that it mirrored the time when David was bringing the Ark of the Covenant back into Jerusalem. And there was a great celebration, and there was a great processional. And he was restoring the presence of the Lord at that time, which was in the tangible Ark of the Covenant, okay? And he was bringing that back into Jerusalem. And as he was doing it, there was incredible songs being lifted up. There was a processional. You probably have heard in the scriptures, there's psalms of what is called ascents. And they would sing these songs as they would gravitate and move towards the temple. Okay, this wasn't particularly one of those, but this was a very significant event that was taking place. I believe it's Psalm 120 through 134. There's like 15 psalms right through there, and they're called psalms of ascents. But this, in the same way, makes many declarations, because they were making an ascent to the temple of God. They were going to take the ark, the presence of God, the most holy holy presence of God, and they were going to go up the steps. And as they were doing so, they were making declarations about the goodness of our God. They were making declaration that He is the creator of all, you see. They were making declarations that He is the God of all of creation, and He owns it all. And as they did that, praise is lifted up and praises in hearts erupted because the presence of God was coming back to Jerusalem. And they made these declarations. They were saying that He is our covenant God. He is our covenant Father. Hallelujah. And you know the story of Israel, right? It's just like you and me so many times. Israel was often wandering away from God, right? They'd wander and then they'd come back. Or sometimes there would be a bad king in the land. And then they would wander some more and they would go back. There was evil in the land, or Pharaoh oppressed them, or whatever it was, and Israel would turn back to God. But boy, it didn't take long, did it? Even after miracle, I don't know if you remember the time that the sons of Korah, you know, the earth opened up because of the murmuring and the complaining that was going on. And it swallowed him up. And it says the next day they murmured against Aaron and Moses. I don't know about you, but if I saw the earth open up and swallow a whole bunch of people, I don't know that I'd be murmuring the next day. But isn't it amazing how in our human flesh we can all of a sudden gravitate towards those types of things? See, there's stuff on the inside of all of us. There's things in areas of your life that you don't tell anybody about, okay? But God knows, and He's not afraid of those things, and He still wants to have relationship with you. He still wants the temple of your heart to have His most holy presence on the inside. Amen? He is the covenant God. Acts 17, 28 says that in Him we live and move, and we have what? We have our being. The very fabric of who we are in our lives is in Jesus. Psalm 100 verse 3 says, know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. Friends, how arrogant of us to think that we have done it all. I get real nervous around people that are all braggadocious about themselves, okay? They want to just list all their accomplishments and everything that they've done. Friends, the only good in me, the only good in any of us as Christians, the only things that we accomplish as a church family here, it's not because of us, it's because of Jesus. It's because of who He is. The only thing that you and I do is we strive to surrender and yield to His leading. Amen? And as we strive to yield, as we strive to surrender, it makes way for more of Him in our lives and in our congregation. When we get out of the way and we let God have His rightful place on the throne, we are bringing that into the temple of our hearts and into the temple of our congregation. In the beginning, God created the heavens. He created the earth. Everything was created by God, friends. I don't care what popular opinion and culture says. You can look at it all. You have to literally make leaps over the scientific method to actually believe the garbage that is out there. Friends, it happened. We were created. This world was created. This universe was created by God. It didn't just suddenly happen. It takes more faith to believe that lie than it does the simplicity of the gospel. But the one thing the gospel requires is that we repent. And we turn from our wicked ways and we turn to Jesus. Science confirms all creation. All you got to do is look at the rock strata, the fossil record, archaeology and geology. I'm telling you, friends, you have to literally make huge leaps to buy in to some of the fallacies that are out there. And I don't want to go into all of that right now. But the message of the cross, it's foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God unto salvation. Amen? The second part of the psalm in verses 3 through 6 this is the part where there's the entrance of humans, okay? You and I into the presence of God. And it says there, who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Mount Zion, the temple of God. Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? But he who has clean hands and a pure heart. Hallelujah. Now, in this day and age, when this was written, the law required them to be ceremonially clean in order to enter into the presence of the Lord. And friends, as Christians, as believers of the new covenant in Jesus Christ, we will stand before the Lord. But can I just tell you something? It's not because of a righteousness of you or me. It's because of the righteousness of the sacrifice and the blood of Jesus Christ that's been poured out for you and me. And it's that very sacrifice that you and I stand on today that allows us to stand in God's holy presence. Because, friends, we don't stand before God in our flesh. Because the Bible teaches us that no flesh will ever glory in the presence of the Lord, you see. That's why we can't do it in our own efforts. We can only do it by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Friends, it all goes to our motives in all of that. Holiness is not a work of the flesh. It is a work of the Spirit. It is a work of the cross. But I have to recognize that my source of holiness is not me. My source of holiness is Jesus Christ and Him alone, friends. He who has clean hands and a pure heart. Hands represent our works, the things that we do, while our hearts are the inner part of us, the soul, the mind, the will, and the emotions, if you will. Clean hands, friends, when we come before God, are empty hands. Now, if I had more time, I was going to do an illustration where I had a backpack, and, we would have probably used Brent again because we always use you for all of our, examples. But I was going to put a backpack up here and just start packing bricks in this thing. Or I could even take a stack of chairs. And, I bet if I gave Brent a chair, he could lift that up onto here. But if I took a stack of five or six and said, now I want you to move that thing up here and come before God, with all of this, he would probably have a hard time ascending even these few steps, okay? The point is this, friends. We need only carry what God has placed in our hands to carry. And so much of the time, we carry things into the presence of God because they were works of our flesh, and we carry them in as if somehow they're going to prop us up before a holy God and make us more acceptable to Him. What it does is it makes us more detestable to Him because these things were done in our flesh. What we need to have is empty hands, and empty hands are surrendered hands. Surrendered hands are yielded to God, and we only carry that which God has told us to carry. See, the burden of the Lord is not heavy, is it? The burden of the Lord is light. So even if God places a burden upon you for intercession or prayer or whatever it may be in your life, we carry that before the Lord because it's His burden. But when we start picking up all kinds of other junk and things and issues from this life, and we try to carry that into the presence of the Lord, it never works. You can't ascend the hill of the Lord when your hands are full. Not to mention the pureness of our hearts. What's going on in your heart today? Sir, ma'am, miss, young lady, young man, what's going on in your heart today? Is Jesus truly, truly on the throne of your heart? Or do you harbor unforgiveness? Do you harbor offense? You don't like what your boss did, or this person did to you, or that person did to you. Are you carrying these things around in your heart? Because, friends, they have no place in the presence of our God. And even in our church life, if you will, collectively, do we carry things around towards one another? I know that never happens in church, right? Never. It happens. But I think sometimes we wink at it. I think sometimes we have this attitude like, well, it's okay, I'm justified. Because Greg picked out the wrong color. I'm sorry, Greg, I didn't mean to go there for you. Isn't it beautiful, Woody? Man, God put that on the inside. Beautiful. Things like that, things about colors, things about carpeting, oh my God. We're working on it, okay? But isn't it a blessing to have worship coming from this throne? Isn't it beautiful? Isn't it a beautiful expression to see a full worship team just going for God? It's beautiful. And it was beautiful before. But this is the new expression that God wants us to have. I think it's awesome. It's what he's brought to us. So why would we ever not want to embrace that? Amen? What are you carrying around in your heart? Because if you want to ascend the hill of the Lord, we have to have clean hands and we have to have a pure heart. But the only way that our hands are clean is when we release control. Friends, I'm going to tell you something. I'm just sharing this with you quickly from my own standpoint in my own life. I was very controlling, very dominating early on. It wasn't because it was a personality flaw. It was because I was hurt. And if I can control it, I couldn't be hurt by it, okay? And that would come out in all areas of my life. And sometimes when you go through those things, you become controlling. You don't like change. You don't like this. And you have a hard time trusting, and all these other things happen in your life. But God doesn't want you to live that way. You can never run free. You can never ascend the hill of the Lord when you're having that stuff rolling around in your heart and in your mind. It will torture you. And I will say, somebody in here needs to hear this. But there's somebody that did something to you somewhere along the line. They have moved on. And it's time for you to move on. It's time for you to be free. It's time for you to let go of that thing that you've been hanging on to. And let God take that thing, because it's not a burden that you were designed to carry. It's only a burden. The only burden you were designed to carry was the burden of the Lord. And I think we all, if we're honest from time to time, that is a big one. Would you say that forgiveness is a big one? It is. But we have to recognize holiness. Without holiness, we can't see God. But the only holiness that we have in our possession is the holiness of Jesus Christ. And it's really not our possession, because we, as we're yielded and made holy, are his possession. Amen? Amen. In Hebrews 12:1, it tells us to throw off the weights and the sins that hinder us and so easily entangle us. And then the last thing, okay, we've seen this. We saw the declaration of the Lord as creator of all. We see the entrance of humans into God's presence in verses 3 through 6. And then the last stanza of this psalm, verses 7 through 10, says it really deals with the entrance of the Lord into the human sphere. And it says, lift up your heads, okay? It talks about the gates, and it's not about these physical gates that are going up and down. What was taking place when it's referring to lifting up our heads. This is an appropriate response of all creation. And basically what we're saying is, I'm taking on the position that I am no longer ruler of my own life, but he is, okay? And to lift up one's head is to acknowledge that there is one greater than you and me. And when we are bowed down and we lift up our heads, we are saying, God, you are the creator of all things. You are the one who has made me. You are the one who is over my life. You are the one that I yield to. You are the one who is far greater than me, oh God. It's you that I ascribe glory to, not myself, Lord God. There's nothing in me but wickedness and deceit. But God, as I yield my flesh to you and I crucify that thing every day and I say, God, I want to walk in the Spirit. As the Spirit of God empowers me each and every day, I will walk and bring you glory. But it's only as I lift up my head to the Lord and I ascribe glory to the one who is greater than I. So those three areas of this psalm, we make a declaration. We enter into the presence of the Lord with clean hands and pure hearts. And as we enter into the presence of the Lord, we recognize that He is the great one, that He is far greater than us. And I'm taking on that position in my life that I am no longer the king. He is. Amen. All right, I'm going to bring it in for a landing here. Thank you, Lord. Everybody okay today? You guys are, you're not?
He's like, no, I'm not.
Colossians 1, verse 21 says this. And you, who were alienated and hostile in your mind, you were doing evil deeds. He has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. God paid a great price for us. He willingly paid that price. We were alienated. We were hostile towards God. We were doing evil things. But yet, He reconciled us through His death so that you and I could be made holy and blameless. Why? So we could stand in His presence. Now, I don't know about you, but when people do you wrong, is that really the attitude that you have towards them? Do we have the attitude that, you know, you did me wrong, so I'm going to go lay down my life for you? But that's really what Jesus did. In fact, He saw the ugliness in their hearts. He saw the catastrophe of their lives, the evil intent, the malicious talk, the gossip, the things that went on in their lives. And He said, you know what? I have to remove that from their lives somehow, some way. And the only way that I can is to give my life in their place. So then He does the work of the cross. And He makes a way for you and I to come into His presence. But here's the kicker. He left a choice up to you and to me. Because we still have a free will, don't we? We can still choose to come into His presence. We can still choose to reject His presence. We can pursue God, or we cannot. I believe that we are in a season right now, even as a church family, where we've been experiencing a little bit of kind of dipping in the river. I think we've put our toes in a few times, maybe been ankle deep just a few times. But friends, I want to challenge you that there is more. There is more for you to experience. You have never experienced all there is to experience of God. God wants all of your heart. He wants all of my heart. And I will tell you every day, I am in a place where I am saying, who can conquer this heart of mine? Just like Paul cried out in Romans, the very things that I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, that's what I do. Oh, wretched man that I am, who can conquer this heart of sin? But thanks be to God, he says. Jesus, he's the one that conquers our heart. He's the one that has defeated the enemy. And he is the one that will enable you to stand in this day and in this hour. Friends, the world is going another direction. We have got to be empowered by God's Spirit to stand and stand firm. I'm not saying that we have to be belligerent and take up, you know, fisticuffs and arms and all that type of stuff, but we need to stand for God. And I'm going to tell you that those who will stand, it will cost you something. If they persecuted me, Jesus said, they will persecute you. You don't have to go looking for a fight. But I'm telling you, the fight's going to come. And the fight is going to come to the church house. But what are we going to do? Are we going to stand? Are we going to fall over and go along with culture? Culture says eye for an eye, tooth for tooth. That's not the way of the kingdom. The kingdom of God is sacrificial. It's loving the unlovely. It's welcoming in those who have done wrong to us. It's forgiving. And you can put that slide up, Sally. The forgiveness one. I believe this is a huge issue in our lives. I felt Holy Spirit put it on my heart that we're going to do a series on this area of forgiveness these next several weeks. So today, I really felt focused on this psalm as a means of preparation for our hearts to receive the forgiveness of the Lord. To recognize that if we want to go into the deeper places with God, if we want to go deeper into His presence, if you want to experience more of God, you have to forgive. Yeah, but he did this or she did that to me. You have to forgive. You need to receive His forgiveness. You need to forgive yourself. You need to forgive others. And I don't know, you might have another area of your life. But we're going to look at this. And we're going to provide opportunities for people to see these things come off of them. I have seen too many Christians that are still bound in chains of unforgiveness and bitterness. They torture themselves through the night. The enemy, you've given access to the enemy in your mind. And you don't even realize that it's coming from unforgiveness. But the blood of Jesus was shed so that you and I can walk and operate in true forgiveness. All your relationships, husbands, wives, all your relationships, children, fathers, mothers, all your relationships, with your bosses, with everything. Because friends, if you want to go deeper with God, we have to operate in a spirit of forgiveness. Amen? So I pray that these words would encourage you today. I feel like Holy Spirit wants to do a work, a deeper work in our body. So I would encourage you, if you know somebody, but really, pray for yourself. It's not selfish. Self-care is not selfish. Do you hear me in that? You know in your heart if you're battling this. But we have a God who cares enough and paid a price so that this can be defeated in your life once and for all. You don't have to be grumpy anymore. You don't have to look at life like it's just a, you know, like you're eating lemons. You don't have to see everything sour. You don't have to see everything ugly. There's great beauty. And there's great beauty right here in this room. Because you're all redeemed. Isn't that good? Look around. Some of you are like, oh, don't look over here. You're all beautiful. You are. Pastor said, I'm beautiful. Yep. You're all beautiful. Amen? Let's stand to our feet this morning. Thank you, Lord. Everybody okay? All right. God's so good. Before you get out of here today, please greet somebody. Don't forget to buy the pickles and the tomato sauce. Make sure you sign up for the harvest party, you know. And just love on each other. If you need a small group or life group, we're here for you. Check out the website. But this week, I'd encourage you to look at Psalm 24. Take a little deeper dive into that and just pray. Let Holy Spirit speak to you. It's one thing for me to come up here and I hope I'm just sparking something in you that makes you want to get into the Word of God, okay? Because Holy Spirit can do a lot more than what I can do in your life. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, so much for your goodness and your kindness to us today. Thank you for your love and mercy and your grace that empowers us. Thank you for your sweet presence, God, and the worship time that we were able to have today, God. Thank you for the volunteers and the people, God, that are just giving themselves week after week. And I just pray, God, that you'll continue to raise up an army right here at Canton Assembly. Lord, let us be a catalyst. Let us be a spark, God, to something great in this city and in this region, Father God. Lord, we love you and we praise you and we give you all honor and all glory because, God, we do, as your people, want to enter into your presence. But we also know, God, that there's sometimes things that we carry. And I pray that over these next few weeks as we examine forgiveness, that you will speak to us and you will free us and you will give a clean, pure atmosphere here, Lord God, a safe atmosphere where people can just come and lay down these burdens at your feet. In the mighty strong name of Jesus, and we all said together, amen. Hey, God bless you. Have a great week in Jesus.